Yo, this is Rob Harvilla from 60 Songs That Explain the 90s, the world's greatest loopy and perverse and inaccurately named music nostalgia podcast. We're doing 90 songs now because there's too many songs. Pearl Jam, Jay-Z, Jewel, U2, Cher, Hootie. These are just some of the names people yell at me on the internet because we're back. More great songs, more rad special guests, more loopy perversity. Join us once more on 60 Songs That Explain the 90s every Wednesday on Spotify.
This episode is brought to you by eBay Authenticity Guarantee. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem. Sneakers and streetwear so fresh, every step feels fly. When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts, real people who love this stuff, with real hands-on authentication experience. So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back. Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
This episode is brought to you by Empower. You got money questions like, can I retire early? What are my best savings options? Can I afford to pay for my kids' education? Luckily, Empower has all the answers. With Empower's real-time dashboard and real live conversations, you get clarity on your real-life financial goals. So join 18 million Americans and Empower what's next. Start today at empower.com. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more. Sponsored by Empower, not an endorsement or a statement of satisfaction by a client.
Welcome to Tea Time. This is a weekly pop culture podcast on the Ringer Podcast Network. I'm Liz Kelly.
I'm Kate Alwa.
And I'm Amelia Wedemeyer. And today we're checking in with relationship news. We're doing a new cringe mode. It's cringe mode Oscar nominees, Sharpay's Fabulous Adventure. And we're also discussing recession brunettes.
Are you okay? Okay, let's do it. I just love the sometimes the pregnant pauses we leave after you introduce a very chaotic show. But let's get into it. Tea Time is checking in with relationship news. This first one I'm dying to talk about. Go ahead, Amelia.
Okay, it's the update everyone is asking. I'm kidding. No. It's the GMA 3 people. TJ and Amy, you know, we talked about them several podcasts ago, how they had an affair and then he had other affairs and then they were back on TV and it's just, it's messy, but it's like amazing. But they have been off the air because ABC is insane. And now they are definitely off the air because they have parted ways with ABC last Friday, which is whatever. I guess ABC didn't want the ratings. They didn't want to beat the Today Show. So, but Amy and TJ are still going strong because they were seen out and about in LA holding hands after the news broke. So
maybe joke is going to be on us, you guys. Remember at first we were really pro this couple and then we realized that he has had a couple of past relationships at work.
Right,
and then we're like, oh no, maybe he's just relationship at work guy. And, but they're still going strong. So maybe, you know.
So maybe, I wish them the best.
Yeah.
I like her. He's kind of, you know. I mean, it's just like, you don't have that many affairs with people at your work. I don't know. Whatever.
One or two at most.
Exactly.
Not that many.
Amelia, do you see the stain in the headlines? Like, do you see them? They're obviously paparazzi'd for a hot second. And they still kind of are. Do you see this? Do you see them like having a long runway in the Daily Mail?
I feel like this might be the beginning of the end. Which, you know, because it's just like, well, if they're gone from GMA 3, then we're like, okay, who cares? So I hope that, you know, she gets hired somewhere, I guess him too. But I don't know. And now they're talking about replacements. They're saying that Rhiannon Ally and DeMarco Morgan may replace Amy and TJ. I don't know either of those people, but
I don't either.
Good luck to them, I guess.
Okay, other relationship news. These two are short, but Adam Levine had his third Baby. You're with Bahati Prinsloo. And you guys remember earlier, I guess it was 2022, the whole Adam Levine cheating affair saga. And the only reason this caught my eye was because at the time when this story broke, the whole thing from this girl's TikTok was that Adam Levine wanted to name his unborn daughter after her name is Sumner. So no name yet, not a lot of details. Their other two daughters are Geo Grace and Dusty Rose. Obviously, it will not be named Sumner, but I just thought of it because I was like, wow, that was a thing at a certain time before.
Imagine if it was like a different mistress. You know, like he just was like, well, that one's out, but people don't know about this one.
I know.
But we know about most of them now, it seems like. So
is it a boy?
It does not say. But okay. If Sumner said that she, I don't know. I have no idea.
Who knows?
Maybe it's a boy or a girl.
I guess that's a gender neutral name. It could go either way.
Right. That's true.
Yeah.
We'll find out eventually.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And then really quickly in other baby news, this is, I think, just for me, so I'm sorry. But Molly May and Tommy Fury, the most iconic Love Island UK couple to ever exit that villa, had their first baby. And if you guys are on Love Island TikTok, you'll know this because one of the challenges at the very end of the show is to, you know, have a baby, like a doll for 24 hours. So there's a lot of...
Oh, I was like, have an actual baby.
No, it's a doll. You know how you do in high school and you like have to take care of it for
the
a day.
Egg. Yeah.
But there's a lot of cute edits because they like practice being parents. They were really freaking cute. And now they have their own baby. But the baby's name is Bambi. And so that's that. They're really big Disney people, but I also think it could be people are saying it's derived from the word bambino, which means child in Italian. Anyway, have you guys seen the thing online where it's like sad beige babies or like sad beige toddlers?
Yes.
Where like these like Instagram moms like only cover their shit in like beige toys, beige rooms, like no color.
The Kim
no
Kardashian effect.
Yes. But you should see this baby's nursery. I would implore someone to come in with a colorful blanket or two.
Oh my God.
But wow. Yeah, I'm really happy for them. I love her.
You know, I've also been kind of following this because I did see that Tommy Fury, he's like a boxer dude.
Yep.
He, sorry. him and Jake Paul are going to fight in like a couple of weeks. And Jake Paul announced this baby before they got to.
Okay, Amelia, now we're talking. I know. I saw that and I was like, could that be? But then
That's
it was
so
like right around
rude.
The right time. And he was right.
He was right. That's so rude. He's such an asshole. I hope Tommy Fury knocks him out.
Off mic, I will have to talk to you about Tommy Fury's boxing career because it's actually more twisted and roundabout than you even think. So we'll have to talk about that another time.
Oh, yeah. I like it.
Okay. Last piece of relationship news.
Giselle is thriving. She has been thriving ever since she split with Tom Brady, arguably before she split with Tom Brady. We've talked about her a couple times. Over the course of this saga, which seems never ending since Tom Brady has now retired again. We talked about her. People thought she was a witch and she had been supporting his career thus far. And then he kind of floundered when she stopped. A lot of theories out there. And she's been in the news lately because she was pictured in Costa Rica with her trainer, Joaquim Valente. And they were like running together. It's what trainers do. But he's like kind of hot. She's hot. People were like, are they dating? We don't think they are. They said they're not romantically linked, but they look good together. So, you know, she likes athletes. Consider it.
Good for her.
However, she's back in the news this week because Tom Brady, again, announced his second retirement. Everyone has deja vu. Some people, like the New York Times, like reran their first article on his retirement and just updated
really?
It.
Oh my God.
And they were like, why waste a good article? And they
That's
did it
funny.
Again, which was pretty good. And he posted this big long Instagram thing about his retirement with pictures of her and his kids and his career. And she commented on it, normal thing to do, and said, wishing you only wonderful things in this new chapter of your life, which on the surface is like very polite, you know, nice thing to say. But like if you sit with it and you think about it, it was like pretty petty, like in a subtle way, like in a it's mean and like rude in a very subtle, polite way. Right? Just the wording, the like wishing you wonderful things in this new chapter of your life. Like,
it's
I will
like
not
your
be there.
Life.
Right.
I will not be
like,
there.
I could
and
not
like,
care any less.
Good
have
luck
fun
with this chapter that is destined for failure without me. You know?
Did you guys see the tweets? I was like, you know, a relationship is over when the girl starts talking to you like she's in HR. And it's just like, best of luck. Good luck. Goodbye.
Right. That's
my
that
big HR vibes. Just like, yes.
Right. Yeah. Like, you know, I'm not going to text you. I'm not going to call you. But I'll comment on your Instagram.
I loved it.
Yeah. It reminds me of the, I constantly think of this headline where it's like when Judy, the movie came out and Renee Zellweger, you know, had her old like Judy Garland thing. And then they asked Liza Minnelli about it. And she was like, I'm not going to watch it, but I hope she had fun making it. Like that's the energy.
Right. It's like this unbothered. Is giving. Like,
exactly.
Oh, you sweet thing.
Yeah. Such a good quote.
Yeah.
Agreed.
So that was exciting. I was going to put something else in this category and then we switched it, but it's like a nice little segue. It's a relationship news segue into Not Worth the Tea. Not to steal that introduction from Liz, but
it's... Go for it.
Okay. David Harbour and Lily Allen did a home tour for Architectural Digest. We always love them. And I wanted to put them in relationship news briefly because I forgot that they met on Raya. Like, you hear about celebrities on Raya, but not often that you hear about a celebrity and another equally famous celebrity.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Meeting on Raya, getting married, living together, having a successful relationship.
I didn't know that.
So they originally apparently had told people that they met on a talk show. And then David Harbour admitted later on that like he was in London doing Black Widow and like by himself after he'd broken up with his previous girlfriend, who I actually really like, Alison Sudol. Anyway, and they met on Raya and he was like texting her and like she was in Italy and he was in London and they like got together in Europe and went on a date and the rest is history. They're married. They got married in 2020 very quickly. Actually, this happened in 2019 and they got married in 2020. Anyway, the point of this is they live together in Brooklyn. And they gave Architectural Digest a tour of their townhome. And it's crazy. And people are very split on whether it's good, crazy, or bad, crazy. It's not as crazy as like some of the terrible houses that we've seen. Mm-hmm. I actually really like it. It's sort of like Victorian maximalist, where it's like tons of like floral wallpaper and bright colors. And most of the rooms I really like, the bedroom I think is insane. The bedroom has like no windows and is pink and just like a giant bed and is like very enclosed and strange. But I think the rest of it is really cool. They got like just crazy carpets and walls and curtains and velvet. And what do we think? You guys have lots of interior design opinions.
You know what? It makes me appreciate Julia Fox more because I feel like the bar continues to be raised by these celebrity homes and specifically with the interior design. Like just a home is no longer going to cut it no matter how nice the bones are. Like this is the epitome of what a celebrity needs to bring to this spread these days. And I'm like, that's unrealistic. No one can put the green and the pink and the florals and the stone and like everything in between.
And like actually own items and live there. You know, I was like, I love this. This is great. This is so fun. I like color. But then I was like picturing it with like kids' toys in it or like clothes. And I was like, this becomes truly insane when you like actually place the items that you have to live with in
these
rooms.
And they are sourced from all over the world. Granted, I know there's professionals that are really good at this and who do that for them. But I'm just like, you know what, Julia Fox, I kind of see it now. Like I would, I kind of appreciate
the other
side of the spectrum where it's like, it's just a home and we just live there. It's okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Agreed. One other weird thing that people mentioned is they have, it looks like a living room. It's carpeted and then they just have a bathtub. Like it's, I think, supposed to be like their bathroom. But like the shower's elsewhere, the toilet's elsewhere, but they just have like, either they have a bathtub in the carpeted living room or they have carpet in their bathroom.
Which, like, I see what you're discussing.
You're getting out of the bathtub and getting onto carpet? Whose idea was that?
That's not great. Although now that my internet finally loaded, I love this kitchen. That's my thought.
Kitchen is great.
Kitchen's nice.
I love the room with the velvet couches, like the green. Yeah. Uh-huh. I'm really into green. I think that's really
great. I actually don't mind the pink. I thought I was going to hate it, but I kind of like it. It's like very like what I think of like kooky British person. I don't know.
Which I guess is Lily Allen for you. So that makes sense. David Harbour also like had a really big popular tour that he did of his bachelor pad in like 2018, 2019. And like, which also, it was not nearly
this
level. No, it was his apartment before he got with her. But it also had a lot of color. It was very like Pinterest chic. And apparently this is like very much her vision, but you can tell that he's like into color. He likes a lot of stuff.
Yeah, that's cool.
So, yeah. A shared vision.
Yeah, love
that. That was fun. All right. Yeah. Other random news. Dave Bautista is in just so many movies. He's like the new Samuel L. Jackson. He's in like every movie.
Yeah.
Which is great. And we love him. However, he told Page Six, he was in an interview. I think he's in some M. Night Shyamalan movie.
Yes,
where
knock at the door.
Yeah.
Knock at the cabin.
Scary and whatever. I just saw him in Glass Onion. He's in a ton of stuff. But he was doing an interview with Page Six, and he said that he would love to star in a rom-com, but he's never gotten a single offer for a rom-com. He said, I know I'm not your typical rom-com lead. I'm a little rough around the edges, but I always, you know, I look in the mirror and I ask myself, am I that unattractive? Is there something that unappealing about me that excludes me from these parts? Dave Bautista should do a rom-com. Someone has to give him a rom-com.
Dave Bautista do a rom-com.
He would be great. He's funny. He looks great. He's got that, you know, bad boy appeal.
Sure.
Dave Bautista needs to take a closer look at Hollywood. Not a lot of people are making rom-coms, and we say that all the time.
That's true. It's not a personal problem.
It's a hate the player, hate the game situation. It's not you. It's everybody. And I'm waiting for this man to be cast. This is great. Maybe this will inspire something.
I hope so.
I hope so.
I would absolutely watch a Dave Bautista rom-com.
Me too. He seems like a really cool guy.
He would do a great job.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's our plea. Another plea to Hollywood. Every week we're like more rom-coms.
Mm-hmm. Are we going to watch, I just drove by a billboard yesterday for that Reese Witherspoon, Ashton Kutcher rom-com that's coming out next week. Are we watching that?
We probably should. We also, Magic Mike 3 comes out soon, although I don't want to go to a theater. I don't like to go. I don't like to leave my apartment. So we may wait on that one until it hits streaming.
Sorry to derail us. I still have one piece of what actually I consider relationship news, but it's in this other category. We try to keep these things even because we give so much lip service to Ben Affleck and J-Lo. We spend so much time talking about those two. You know what? I want to put this woman in the sun and talk about her. Even though this is not really news, Jennifer Garner was caught, you know, paparazzi photograph. She's just living her life on a walk and holding her hands with her, quote, CEO boyfriend, John Miller. And I feel like, which I did, I guess these two have been connected back since 2018 after her divorce. And I guess they've been together ever since. They're very low profile. But I just want to call out this relationship because she is thriving as well. And Ben Affleck with his new life and his new home with J-Lo, whatever. Jennifer Garner's also, you know, moved on. I feel like she's always like the note. What are you thinking, Kate? I know you're thinking something.
I was like, is this the hamburger guy? Excuse me,
hamburger
guy. And it is. And we talked about him because we brought it up because he looks like the guy who played Vaughn on Alias that she dated. And like, that was what everyone was talking about when they started dating. Is that he looked just like her ex, Michael Vartan from Never Been Kissed. And I was like, why do we talk about this guy? I can't remember. But that was why. Which like, I guess that's great.
I can't believe you remember he was a burger guy. Yeah, he's the CEO of Cali Group, which is the owner of the Cali Burger restaurant chain, which living in California, I have never heard Cali Burger.
Well, now you know.
But regardless, maybe I should go
keep an eye out
one.
So we can support them.
Oh, that's funny.
I'm just putting this into the universe because I'm happy and I just feel like she deserves just as much of like, you know, moved on storylines as Ben gets.
Yes.
So true.
Did you see the photo of him and Ben Affleck like making small talk?
No. Send it to me. Later.
Okay, I will.
Okay.
Wow. I will.
Thank you. And then last piece, Amelia.
Last piece. You know, a few weeks ago, we talked about Olivia Culpo and her chamber orchestra, which I just want to
cello.
Say.
Oh,
her
shit,
cello.
Yeah.
I only laugh because it's like, who would... It's not because like she's Miss America and whatever. It's literally if my sister were to tell me I'm doing chamber orchestra, I'd be like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. Or it's inherently just like, funny no matter who it is.
It's so funny. Yeah, regardless of who it is. It's just like, who does, like, are you the orchestra going down on the Titanic? Like, who has been in a chamber orchestra since like the 1800s? I don't know, whatever. So like, that's funny to me. But I say this because I think I'm going to have to stan Olivia Culpo now because I know I started watching her show, the Culpo Sisters on Discovery Plus. It's really good.
Really think about it.
It's a little it's a little long. It's like 45 minutes, and that's a little long for me. But it's like it reminds me of like maybe 2012 through 2015 Kardashians.
Kardashians. Don't bait me like this, Amelia.
I'm so sorry. But it's, and they have a cute little family, and it's like her sisters, and one of them lives with her, and the other one's going through this horrible divorce where she, like, this is literally the first or second episode. The sister's like, Yeah. So my husband, I allowed him to have one extramarital affair a year.
I saw this.
Yeah. And then she was like, and then I told him recently, I don't want to do this anymore. And he chose to like break up with me. And I was like, what okay. the fuck? So there's like dealing with that. Olivia has all this trauma from dating this asshole NFL player. And so it's like all this crazy. And I'm just like, wow, this is good drama. Because, you know, if you've been watching Kardashians on Hulu, they don't, that, no, no, no. It's just a one long PR ploy. So I'm over that show. I'm into the Culpo sisters. It's a good show. I like it.
Wow. I'm so happy that you watched this. This has been kind of like floating around. That little clip of that sister's bad breakup has been going viral online.
And
so now you're our inside scoop.
Well, thank you. And also, I found out that the sister who was cheated on, her husband was on one of the best seasons of Survivor, but he was voted out before the merge. So you know he's a loser.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
that's why we keep you around. This is just amazing intel. You'll have, you. What season?
He was on Micronesia, Fans versus Favorites. Oh. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Well, you did hook me with the Kardashians comment, so maybe I will tune in just for you.
Okay. That's all I could hope for.
This episode is brought to you by eBay Authenticity Guarantee. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem. Sneakers and streetwear are so fresh, every step feels fly. When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts, real people who love this stuff, with real hands-on authentication experience. So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back. Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Hey, I have a secret.
Uh-huh.
I use Secret Whole Body Deodorant because more than just my armpits stink.
Oh, can I use it where my bra rubs under my...
Oh, yeah.
And what about down there? You know, my...
Totally. 4 out of 5 gynecologists would recommend it. So I tried it, and now I get 72 hours of freshness from my pits to my...
Ooh, I love that it's a spray.
Me too. And it comes in sticks and creams too. Go get your Secret Whole Body Deodorant.
This episode is brought to you by Rockstar Energy Drink. Be honest, are you procrastinating by listening to this podcast? It's okay. You just need Rockstar Focus. Choose from 3 delicious flavors, each crafted with ingredients for an ideal energy and mental boost, like Lion's Mane, 200 milligrams of caffeine, and zero sugar. Visit rockstarenergy.com to learn more. At least 75 milligrams of caffeine has been shown to help improve attention.
Okay, let's keep moving. We're doing cringe mode. So I'm going to hand this over to Kate to like better introduce this category than I can and like what we're doing for the next couple of weeks. Go ahead, Kate.
Thank you. I think we'll be consistent about it. We may, I don't know, do something else for Valentine's Day. But leading up to the Oscars, which are like very far away, so we may go in and out on this, we thought it would be fun to just humble some of the nominees. Really, I think this idea came up because of Austin Butler, who we started with this week. We made a list of every Oscar nominee, acting nominee, and their cringiest movies because many of them have been in some tough stuff over the years. And we're just going to watch some of their worst, not necessarily their worst movies, but their worst and most tea time core movies over the next month and a half leading up to the Oscars. Again, we may go in and out. We'll see.
Yeah.
But yeah, we started with Austin Butler, and who we could have done the Carrie Diaries. I thought about suggesting an episode of the Carrie Diaries, but instead we had to stay on brand. We went with Sharpay's Fabulous Adventure from 2011.
Correct. Great. I'm obsessed with this series. Let's see the plot.
Yes. This did start as we were like, for science, we have to just listen to his real voice, which we'll talk about momentarily. But this was a Disney Channel original movie, but it was the first one. It went straight to DVD first, and then it aired on the Disney Channel. So history made. Starts out with our girl Sharpay from High School Musical performing at her parents' country club with her dog. She's like doing a little number. And she gets seemingly scouted by this Broadway agent, convinces her parents to let her move to New York, trying to make it on Broadway. As soon as she gets there, everything goes wrong. Her penthouse doesn't allow dogs. The Broadway show, they actually just wanted her dog to star in. They didn't actually want her. She meets Austin Butler, who's like a family friend, and he's a student at NYU making a documentary. And basically, he like helps her out, gets her somewhere to live. She agrees to be like star in his documentary. And basically, the whole movie is like Sharpay trying to like suck up to this mean girl who's like starring in this show. She's like a dog hater. She hates dogs. She doesn't want them in the play. I'm like, why did you do one with dogs then? Anyway, she's like feuds with this little kid whose dog is like competing with her dog. And ultimately, she like exposes the mean girl dog hater and takes her role and lives happily ever after with Austin Butler. Also, the dogs fall in love. We'll talk about it. It's quite the movie.
Okay. Let's do the highlights. And I'm going first because I think this is extremely important to discuss. I wonder if you guys
it is.
This is like the number one reason we watched this.
To Austin Butler's credit, his voice in this movie made in 2011 is so much closer to his Elvis voice than the public had me believe. I thought this man went through a 180 transformation with his voice. It is comparable. Obviously, there's like a certain drawl that Elvis has and a way of speaking and an accent, but like he is a deep voice, people. And I think everyone kind of overreacted. I'm a little disappointed with the two. What did you guys think?
I totally agree. I think the tone of it, I wasn't expecting either. And maybe I just hadn't watched enough clips or whatever pre-Elvis. And again, the accent, he clearly has an accent now that did not exist at this point. But he hasn't like deepened it. He hasn't changed the tone.
Correct. You don't think he's deepened it?
Wow.
I mean, maybe a little bit.
But it is pretty deep. It's deep.
It wasn't
but it's
as
like
different as I wanted it to be.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think it's not like you're going from here to here, but it's like
you're going from here to here.
Interesting.
That's how I heard it.
Yeah. Sure. I was just more pleasantly surprised because I didn't know what that previous voice had sounded like. And his first couple lines when he's introduced is just, I don't know. There was Elvis there. Vanessa Hudgens was onto something back then when she was like, you should play Elvis. Because there were through lines and I was... I think we're ganging up on him too hard. Granted, the him keeping it is kind of certifiably insane, but it's not so big of a transformation. I was pleasantly surprised.
Hey, listen, I thought he was great in the role. I saw that movie and I was like, of Elvis. I mean, he was fine in this too. But in Elvis, you know, I've been heralding his performance since I saw it. So
It's just the question of how long he'll keep it. Yeah. I have to be honest. He has such a baby face in this that I was actually way more distracted. I was like Googling like Austin Butler plastic surgery while instead of like paying attention to his voice, which is the jury's out. However, he is pretty young. So like, you know, you look different when you're younger. You have more buccal fat in your face as we discovered.
Don't you dare.
But he really looks, I think, facially extremely different than he does now, which was more distracting to me than the voice, actually.
Yeah.
So.
I get that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Does he still have the dark hair or is he blonde again? I don't even know.
You know, I'm honestly not sure.
I don't know. Amelia, what else? What was the highlight for you?
You know, I think the highlight for me is that from the beginning, this movie gives us what we want. Like Sharpay, it starts with her singing about being iconic and referencing like fashion designers. And I'm just like, that's what we want. We know her signature song is Fabulous, which appears at the end of this film. I love how they took that from
in the
High
credits,
School Musical
too.
Yeah, exactly. They know what they're doing. So, that was great. I was like, thank you. Yeah, you know what we want. So,
agreed. And like, it can't be overstated that like this movie literally in the first second starts with her singing. Like it opens on her face. It doesn't set the scene. It doesn't go introducing Sharpay. Literally the first second of this movie, she starts singing. Like, I was like, did I skip? Because Liz uses my Disney Plus account. And I literally thought like Liz, I had started it in like the middle. And like, I was at the point that Liz had been watching. Like, it was so jarring. And then I was like, no, this literally is just they just start with her immediately singing. Like, she says the word fab before the 22nd
yeah.
mark. I was like, mm-hmm. this is could not be more on brand for her, mm-hmm. which is great. But it was mm-hmm. jarring.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Yes, it was.
What else, Amelia?
I would say I also enjoyed Sharpay's insults. They're actually like they're top tier. She has yeah. like this rapport with this little boy who owns the dog, as Kate talked about. And he's, you know, bantering with her. And she just says, sorry, which Smurf were you again? And I'm just like, LOL. Thank you.
Some Ashley great dialogue Tisdale. In here.
Some yeah. great dialogue. And on that note, I think Ashley Tisdale is very good at bantering with children because she did it on Sweet Life. She's doing it here. She's good with bantering with kids.
Right. She should have leaned into that more.
She wow. really should. Yeah.
Speaking of the dogs, I couldn't decide if the dog love story was a highlight or a lowlight. This is going to be an unpopular opinion on this podcast. But literally, like, the dog that she owns, Boy, and then mm-hmm. Countess, which is the dog that it's competing with, like, their owners are feuding, but they're having, like, this love story. Like, like they keep, like, locking eyes. And mm-hmm. I decided it was a highlight when they included an entire sequence of, like, them falling in love and running away together. There's, like, mm-hmm. rain. They go on a carriage ride. And I think it's a highlight because these dogs could have been way uglier. Like, the classic, like, mean girl, okay. blonde, like, dog. It could have oh. been a chihuahua. Could have been one of those shitty little white dogs. Oh. Could have been a poodle. Could have been a little rat thing. Instead, oh. it's like this cute little terrier. And then oh Countess is like a King Charles Spaniel. I'm like, these dogs could have been way uglier. If I'd written this script, the dogs would have been uglier. So actually, I decided this was a highlight because the dogs
oh
were cute.
Oh, my God.
I could not disagree okay. with you more, but I'm going to save it till I get to my own low life.
That's
so.
That's fair.
Ooh.
Okay. Do you want to talk about the doggy date sequence?
I just did, Liz. Okay. You just checked out during the doggy date talk. However, they did also have a scene set to Baby by Justin Bieber.
See, that's what I was waiting
yes,
for.
Yes, yes.
Jeez,
I left that part out.
That was crazy. I was not expecting
yeah,
that.
Yeah, they couldn't get the rights to the real song, so they just like included a cover of really Baby. Funny. So that was.
Do you think it was Ashley Tisdale? Like, well, she was singing one of the songs. Wasn't she singing it? See, she was singing something. I don't
think
know.
It was
Never
a man.
Mind.
But
was it a man? Okay,
you
I
both
apologize.
Clearly skipped the doggy date sequence, so it's
no,
fine.
No, no, no. I
can't imagine. Fast forward. Oh. Whatever, you guys.
All right, let's move to lowlights. That's clearly the meat and potatoes of this episode. First off, her wig. OMG. This was not attached to her head in any proper way. It sat matted on her scalp, and she deserved better.
It was so bad in one of these opening scenes that, you know, Disney Plus doesn't allow screenshots. So I had to take a picture of my camera, of my computer with my phone,
oh,
airdrop the picture to my computer so I could put it in this outline so that I could stare at it while we talked about it. It's like next to her eye, and like literally it looks like they took a glue stick and like yeah. glued a matted blonde thing to her eye. It's so bad. And we were just talking. What were we just talking about?
Yeah.
The wigs were good. What were we watching? God, where we were God, like, the wigs are so much better in this. What happened to Hollywood?
Heartbreakers.
Oh, right. Wait, oh, yeah, yes. Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
Jennifer Love Hewitt. Liz, you weren't there for that. And Susan Sarandon. Not Susan Sarandon. Who
Jennifer
was it?
Love Hewitt.
Who was the other one? The oh. other woman.
Sigourney
Weaver. Thank you. I was oh, like, it's not okay. Susan Sarandon. I knew that was wrong.
Sorry,
Kaya
Susan.
Coming
oh
to our rescue here. Anyway.
Oh, my God. I'm
those
so
wigs
sorry.
Were great. And then wig technology took a dive, apparently, in 2011.
Yeah. That's well, not damn. Bad. Also, because this is cringe mode, I felt like Austin Butler's documentary filmmaking was so cringy. Oh, it's like, you know, the role in movies where it's like the person who like runs the street newspaper and they've like got the
oh my
camera
God.
Everywhere. It was like that vibe the whole
yes,
time. That
was.
Is not a legitimate love interest for Ashley Tisdale. They should have tied him in some other way.
Yeah.
I get yeah. the artsy NYU student, but just like his camera, it was a no. And then my main lowlight is this is a movie about dogs. This is a dog movie. And Ashley Tisdale is merely a vehicle in which to talk about the dogs. I was shocked. And you're right, Kate. I did skip through a couple of the dog parts because this is a dog movie. And the whole thing revolved around a show about dogs. The amount of close-up shots that these two dogs got of their two little faces looking at each other, way too much. It felt like all the humans are just like ancillary characters and it was about dogs. Do you guys disagree?
Wow. Remember when we had a bit about how Amelia hated dogs and she was like number
oh,
one dog
yeah.
hater of the world? Liz, you've taken that title. Congratulations.
That's fine. Don't make it, if it's going to be a dog movie, just advertise it as such.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? This is not a movie right. about short pay.
It's like Hotel for Dogs, but exactly. You know, they didn't tell us it was Hotel. It should have been Show for Dogs.
I was duped into thinking this was like an Ashley Tisdale movie. Next little light, Amelia.
I'm sorry, but where the fuck is Ryan?
Yes.
You can't have a Sharpay movie without like at least a mention or like a cameo from Ryan. I don't like what? Well, it's just inexplicable and honestly offensive.
I 1000% agree. This is my number one lowlight. And I was like, I literally Googled it because I was like, where the was he busy? Was he doing something else? No, it gets worse. So Lucas Grabeel, who plays Ryan and her twin brother, they're inseparable in the High School Musical movies. He doesn't even get a mention in this movie.
It
turns out
up.
In a scene exclusive to television and Netflix, he is in a deleted scene where he shows up. He takes a break from his quote musical tour around the country. He pays her a visit after she becomes a star on Broadway to congratulate her. And then Ryan like hangs out on her. You know, she has the fold down bed. That's like a continuing joke. He like relaxes onto the bed and it like oh, flips funny. Up with him inside of it.
Nice.
And they deleted it.
Classic
they were
Ryan.
Like, people don't need to see Ryan. What?
What?
Oh,
I know.
They don't know their audience. That's actually
not
like really offensive.
I know. It's
I
also
can't
like narratively.
That.
I'm like, they're literally like, he's her. She has her friends like booking her these flights and stuff. I was like, Ryan would be doing this.
Ryan
would
be doing this. That is so rude.
I know.
It's bullshit. So rude.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Hated it.
And then, of course, we don't even get like a Ryan's Fabulous Adventure. We it's just,
no,
you know.
We don't.
Rude.
I know.
So, whatever. Also, I just want to, I didn't really know where to put this, but some of these lines are hilarious. This one made me laugh. She's talking to the dad, and of course they have to establish a timeline, like when this is occurring. And so the dad goes, "Sweetheart, when you graduated high school almost a year ago, do you remember what you said to me?" I love that.
Honestly, this was helpful because I didn't know when it was happening.
Yeah,
I right. really needed that.
This did place
I was
us,
like, "How
yeah.
old is she supposed to be?"
That's hilarious.
Okay, so I do good. Have a dog related low light.
Yeah.
So okay. this dog's name is Boy, B-O-I. Okay. Mm-hmm. And they say it all the time during this movie. Again, the dog is a significant character. This is a terrible name for a dog, especially Sharpay's dog. It's completely off brand. Her dog would be named like something stupid, like Prince, Archibald, Sparkles, Fluff Nugget the Fourth. And mm-hmm. I guess he's supposed to seem like a dog of the people compared to Countess, oh, okay. which is like the like posh dog that like this. But I'm like, Sharpay is rich and she has a, you know, a rich girl dog. And his name would not be Boy. Come on.
Boy's all-time bad dog name.
Really bad. Really bad. It's like confusing and unimaginative.
It is. It actually was confusing from a dialogue perspective.
And it doesn't make sense at all for her character. Like it just, I'm like, you would name him like, I don't know, something dumb. Like Ruffles.
Agreed.
And then my other low light, you know, this movie ends with like her exposing the mean girl and like taking her role or whatever. Ooh. And she does it through like the classic like, oh, your mic's on during your villainous monologue where you admit to everything that you've done.
So and, like, good.
Listen, I wasn't expecting high art from this movie. Okay. No. But this twist has been done 1000 times.
Sorry, just, I love
like,
it.
There was no other
I
way.
I love it. When that happened, I was like, oh my God.
Yes!
Every time.
I was
like,
speaking of the mean girl, I was like, first of all, I think it's funny that she was a redhead because they were like, we already have a like a mean blonde. Like,
we need to have like, a
different
redhead.
Hair color. And then like, I did find it a low light where it's like, you can't have someone meaner and pettier than Sharpay. You know, like it, like that's her thing.
Yeah.
I understand you have to have a mean girl, but like making her like a good and well-adjusted and kind person compared to this girl, I was like, you kind of took away what we love about Sharpay, which is her just being a bitch.
That's fair.
But yeah, it was fine.
All right, let's see what's aged the best and the worst. The first is when Ashley Tisdale first moves into this luxury penthouse New York apartment that is supposed to be like, high fashion, high art only, you know, up to Sharpay standards. And it is like the ugliest apartment I've ever seen. It's like purple couch, red carpet, nasty. She moves out. I thought the apartment was actually going to play like a much bigger role. And I thought we'd revisit it. It comes and it goes. So it's not a huge note, but I just thought it was funny. It kind of placed us in 2011, I thought.
It did. Yeah, for sure.
And then it's the worst. I think Ashley Tisdale could have had such a longer and more fruitful career if she leaned into rom-coms because she is good, like you said, Amelia, playing off children. She's very expressive. She's like got good acting chops, physical comedy chops. And she really just didn't do a whole lot. Like High School Musical became just like her whole career and then this spinoff. And now she's just kind of like an, she's just like a influencer person. Anyway, maybe it's the screenshot that Kate, you attached where she looks like Brittany Snow, like identically.
But okay, yes.
I just was like, you could have done, there could have been more. We need to make more rom-coms in the millions.
I was like, picturing her like in Pitch Perfect. I almost said this. I think it was the auditioning thing that made me think of like make that connection. But she could have done that. She could have had like a second revival as like older mean girl, basically.
I totally, okay. I don't know. I agree. That's funny. She could have been like cool babysitter falls in love.
Like she's legitimately very funny.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a waste.
Damn.
So.
Well, it is a waste. Shoot. Amelia?
I am going to say that I liked that Austin, but I don't even remember his name in this film. I'm
Peyton.
Sorry. Peyton. Okay. Yeah. Thank you. Peyton, his character, Peyton, his dream is to win an Oscar. Yeah. And he like, when she's talking to him, she's like, do you have to film everything? And he's like, yes, because this is my shot. If my professor loves my film, he's going to talk about it. Then there's buzz. Then it gets to festivals. Then it gets distribution. And then I get a studio deal. And then I'm getting an Oscar. And I was like,
nice.
Life imitating art. I love it.
Love he spoke it. He spoke it into being.
He really did.
He did.
He's an optimistic guy in this movie. So I guess he really did manifest that. Mm-hmm. Okay, just a couple things. Age the best, worst. This is both. Him just filming every random thing in the street and like accosting people and coming up to her with a camera randomly without telling her what he's doing or asking really reminded me of like the dudes, like the men on the street with like the TikToks nowadays.
Oh, God.
Just
watching,
like, what are you listening to? It's like,
that gives me so much anxiety that like, I don't want to go outside.
I know.
Or I want to go to malls. I don't want to go to malls.
Right. And like, it's aged accurately, but like it's aged badly. Like I'm like,
that's
I don't like
that's
that this
a great,
still happens.
Yeah, point.
Age the worst is just like the concept of this. Like this show, A Girl's Best Friend or whatever, this would close in a week and like our girl Sharpay would be back on a plane to Albuquerque. Like this would not make it on Broadway.
It's
come
a
on.
Bad show. It's a show about dogs.
It would age it would close
in my
low-light. No time.
Listen, did you see that theater? It was filled. Okay.
It's true. That is true. No one else chose an MVP.
Well, but,
do you all agree with me?
I didn't because I hate you because I sometimes it's like, oh, I want them to choose first. You know, I just like I don't want to take the only character that's
MVP.
Like.
Did so anyone take Ashley Tisdale?
Well,
does
I
anyone
want
think
to.
Ashley Tisdale is the MVP?
Yeah. I want to. Dibs.
Okay, great. Do you want to talk about it?
Yes. Ashley Tisdale deserved a long, fruitful career and she just was not utilized the best. And this movie should have been more about Ashley Tisdale, less dog.
My MVP is the dog.
wow.
His name is Boy. However, fun fact, Boy was played by director Kenny Ortega's dog in High School Musical 2 and 3. They just put his dog in there, which I was like, this is why the dog is cute.
Oh,
because that's
cute.
Why they didn't choose
that's
an ugly
really
dog,
funny.
Like a Chihuahua. And also Ashley said, well, it's played by two other dogs in this movie. And Ashley said they were actually really frustrating to work with. Which I thought was funny.
Did she elaborate or no? Just maybe she was
she
like,
she then
the
was like, oh,
play.
But they were cute. She kind of like couched it because she doesn't hate dogs like Liz. But apparently,
what's
a
dog
it was
lover,
a
FYI.
Difficult.
What's interesting to me is like, I've seen pictures of her like on red carpets with this dog. So it's like, was this a contractual thing where she had to carry around this dog to like every premiere? And like,
I'm kind of, yeah.
We should have looked that up. Well, she probably didn't have a premiere for this, but I was going to say, we should have looked up some outfits for this press tour, but I probably didn't get one.
Okay, quickly, the lightning round. The best quote, I'm giving it to Ashley Tisdale talking about the Murphy bed in the tiny closet New York apartment. And she goes, that is not a bed. It's a closet with a tongue.
Like, nice.
That's a really nice way to describe that.
That's funny. I like the scene. And I think this highlights Ashley Tisdale's ability to do comedy. Austin Butler goes, wait, as in like, wait. And she goes, about 105, but it's really not polite to ask.
Nice. That's a quip.
I was like, love it, Ashley.
Good one.
Yes.
Good one.
Funny.
My favorite line was early on when her friends were like booking her flights and finding her at this penthouse. Her friend gets off the phone and goes, it's equidistant from Chanel and Wicked. I was like, that's all you need when you move to New York. Equidistant from Chanel and Wicked. Also that's like funny. Very 2011.
Yeah. Favorite outfit, Kate?
I thought it was really funny that she coordinated with the dog the whole time. I did appreciate that. I think I'll take the pink, the pink sequined coat that she arrives in. The dog has a matching one. It's just like a really obnoxious pink trench coat.
I'm taking her outfit at the very end of the movie when she sees Austin Butler again, and she's got kind of a white floral ornament in her hair dangling down with like a little chandelier, like hitting her cheeks. And then she's got a matching insane ornate bag. And I'm very mad at Disney Plus for not allowing us to screenshot. And I'm just stupid.
The hair jewelry is also very 2011.
Oh, yes.
And the earrings. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Agreed.
I loved all the sequins because that's Sharpay.
Yeah.
I was
exactly.
Like, nice. On brand.
Okay, this is good, this final question. I did not write it. The question is, what clip from this movie would you choose to run as Austin Butler's Oscar reel? Kate wrote it. Good job, Kate.
You know, I thought it'd be funny to ask this for all the nominees that we go through. But you know the one where, like, before they're like, nominated for Elvis, Austin Butler. And then they like show like a 10-second clip or something like about why he deserves it. So I was trying to think of what scene in this movie would be the best pick. And he actually, it's not that embarrassing of a movie for him. Like it is, but he doesn't do that much stuff where I'm like, wow, this scene is really embarrassing. Yeah. He does give her a lot of like earnest pep talks.
Yes.
So I thought maybe the scene where he's in the theater, he like shows everyone the tape of her singing and then like gives her this like very earnest pep talk about like she's a star. Just like the idea of like Oscar nominee Austin Butler giving a pep talk to Ashley Tisdale about being like, you're a star and the world is like what you make of it.
That's a good one.
It's pretty embarrassing and pretty funny.
Yeah. Amelia?
Yeah, I agree. I don't think this movie is that embarrassing for him. I mean, maybe starring in a, you know,
right.
Off-brand.
The concept of it is, but the actual, like his scenes and his lines aren't.
Correct.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Cause he is a good character. Like he's a nice guy. Yeah. And he's trying to help her and stuff. But when he tells Sharpay that she shouldn't trust the mean girl, Amber Lee, and they like break up or they're like no longer friends, he's like leaving and he turns around and he's like, one more question. What happened to that hot pink whirlwind that I saw through my lens the first day you got here? It's like, okay, this is what he's working with. Yes. You know, he can't, there's only so much he can do when this is like the script.
There's a lot of like, who are you now? And then like really like earnest hyping like her betrayal.
Yeah, that is that'd be pretty embarrassing. But overall, not as bad as I thought it would be for him.
Yeah, no. He comes out pretty unscathed. And now we're Team Austin Butler voice. I am, so I'll be too. On that island.
Yay, go Austin.
Okay, let's do Tea Time's unanswerable questions. Just a hilarious roundup this week, I have to say. Go ahead, Kate.
Are people really going recession brunette? And do I need to stop buying gas and eggs because of it?
Yes.
It's been about a year into my blonde journey, like a year and a half. And Business Insider ran a piece this week that I actually thought was a great idea. For a piece, because girls on TikTok are talking about how it's too expensive to be blonde right now. And due to the recession, a lot of them are dyeing their hair brown, basically, to save costs. And the headline was like, oh, like recession brunette, whatever trend is happening because of the recession. And then the deck goes, people are choosing to pay for essentials like eggs and gas instead of maintaining their blonde hair. Like as if it's like one or the other. Wow. So that was a bit of an attack, but I read the article and it was actually really interesting. A lot of times like economic downturns like cause this to happen. So like the ombre trend people think was tied to the recession last time because it became like really trendy to like have those like grown out layers and like low maintenance hairstyles. Like in this article, like these hairstylists were like,
is so fascinating.
The like housing crisis led to the ombre trend. So they think that's what they said. So they think, obviously it's not like direct, but supposedly there's a tie there. So now all these girls that they interviewed are like, it's just like too expensive to stay blonde right now. And so they think there's going to be a significant uptick in like normal people who are blonde, not like celebrities, but normal people going brunette during the economic downturn right now.
Kate, are you going to stay strong? Are you going
to
keep
See, that's the unanswerable question. Yeah. I mean, I guess we'll have to see. If I have a strong craving for eggs, like what is a girl to do?
Right.
I mean, I can walk everywhere and I can eat cereal, but
At what point in the economy are you going to bring back your bangs? Is that like an economic upturn?
Well,
is that
kind of
like a crash?
I have, they're kind of here. I trimmed them myself. But the full bangs, that will take a psychotic break.
Okay.
To happen again. So we'll see.
Oh, that's funny.
Stay tuned.
My question, and there is an answer, and yet is there really? Because we can't fully get to the bottom of it. This tweet was earlier this week, and I actually laughed out loud. I sent it to T-Tem in Slack late at night. Thank God Kate was online, responded to it, and I laid awake all night waiting for Amelia to read it. Okay, here's the tweet. It's at Bazy Hive. It's like a fan account.
Oh my God.
And it's got the little siren emoji, which typically people save for, you know, some like important news. And it says, breaking, Beyonce was chased by a camel after her concert in Dubai last week.
Stop!
TMZ reports. Okay. Okay. And you're like, haha, I guess that's kind of humorous, Liz. No. The photo attached to this tweet is, I can't, okay. So, you know, Beyonce's like iconic, like Dubai kind of like performance outfit is like big yellow, bright dress. Mm-hmm. And there is a, at like what looks like CTV footage of a woman in a yellow dress. Sorry. A woman in a yellow dress sprinting down the street.
It's like a blur.
It's a blur.
Oh my God.
And then there is like some unknown animal, perhaps a camel, like chasing after this person. And like everyone who is like anywhere in pop culture knows if like TMZ reports it, it's true. Okay. You could even just tweet that TMZ said it and everyone would be like, yeah, that just gives you instant credibility. So I thought for one half of a second, this was real. Okay. Spoiler alert. It's not. But what is with this photo? This is such a mystery to me now. Is this just like, where did this come from?
I also want, that's what I want to know too, is like, what came first? Like, yes. Did they come up with like, I'm going to start a rumor that Beyonce got chased by a camel? Or did they come across this picture and go, you know, that kind of looks like it could be Beyonce. And then they created this rumor.
Probably
like,
that.
Is it
right?
The chicken or the egg? Is it the camel or the dress? Like, I need to know how this came about. I genuinely like purposefully did not. I knew that it was false, but I didn't want to know.
And it,
so I purposely did not.
Fact checking that.
Yeah, yeah. It's like not Santa look, because I was like, I'm choosing. This is my reality now. You know, the world's what you make of it.
What's funny is like when you Google Beyonce chased by a camel, there's already like quote unquote footage. It's like this guy's like Beyonce chased by a camel in Dubai. Full footage. It's like, okay.
Okay.
Oh, there is. Oh my God. And you know what too?
I don't. Yeah.
There was so much sneaky footage released from that trip of hers to Dubai that I kind of believe anything. You know what I mean?
There was so it was like under wraps, right? So that like you could almost believe that like it didn't get out until now, you know?
Yeah.
But apparently not.
Oh, fuck. All right. Anyway, that really made my week. I had to bring it up. Every once in a while, there's a tweet. It's like the Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Bella Hadid tweet, this one.
God.
I'm just like putting that in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Last question, Amelia.
Okay, my question is, who is Jessica Simpson's, quote, massive movie star, unquote, paramour? Because the one and only Miss Jessica Simpson decided to write an essay for, like, Amazon, I guess. I guess Amazon is doing this now, or they're like, write an essay. I don't know. And it's called Movie Star. They always say they're single. And she talks about, like, this mystery hot A-lister who eyed her up and down at the 2001 MTV Video Music Awards. And she was still with Nick. But then when she broke up, or she got his number, but when she was like kind of off with Nick, and then she was back on with him. But then later, they got married and everything. Then they got divorced in 2006. She ended up sharing a kiss with this mystery A-lister hunk at the Beverly Hills Hotel. And then she ran into him again at the gym. And then he was like, I don't have a girlfriend, even though like he did have a girlfriend. And then she and him were hooking up all the time. And she thought that, you know, he didn't have a girlfriend, but he did. And then she was like, I started to feel like a call girl because I was only there, you know, for sex and stuff. And so she just gives this whole account of this affair with this movie star. And everyone is like, who is the movie star?
Yeah.
So people have gone back through like, you know, the Getty images to see who was at the 2001 MTV Video Music Awards, which is obviously smart. Uh-huh. And the main takeaways is that people are saying it's either, I don't think it's Tom Cruise. They're saying it's Tom Cruise, but I don't think it's him. Mark Wahlberg. That is like the number one because I guess he talks about having like a spiritual advisor. Mark Wahlberg has a spiritual advisor. You know, she had a crush on him for a while. He was really big in like the 90s and stuff. Everything about Mark Wahlberg like lines up. There are several other little points where it's like, okay, it's Mark Wahlberg. So I think Jessica Simpson's paramour. Well, I guess I answered this question. I'm sorry. But do we think it's Mark Wahlberg, I guess, is the question.
I can see that. That feels right for like their levels of fame at the time and like his personality.
Except, I would not call him a massive movie star. I think that's giving him
maybe
a little too much credit.
Time?
I feel like maybe. Yeah, I feel like he was at some point. Wow. Yeah, I actually think the two of them make a lot of sense. There's like certain celebrities that go together.
That's a good guess.
Yeah, that's really good. Was there any other guesses? This is really interesting.
People were like, I hope it's Christopher Walken.
You know what? I'm all for these celebrities. Even though she's not that old, like reflecting on her life. Like I want all of these details. Like, and I need someone like you to place them for me.
Right.
Do the research. Always interested every fucking time.
I just looked at this online. But yeah, I know. I love a good memoir, you know?
Yeah.
I need juicy gossip. Another Lindsay Lohan like
list.
Just list. That's all I see another one. I need Jessica Simpson. That would be cool.
Yeah.
Well, you solved it. That was one of our, find answers. Yeah. So that's a great way to wrap this pod up.
Okay.
Thank you guys so much for listening. And thank you to Kaya, our producer. I'm Liz Kelly.
I'm Kay Halliwell.
And I'm Amelia Wedemeyer.